The Senate will please come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Edwards, Edwards, Farioli, Farioli, George, George, Gerard, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Nelson, Olson, Olson, Przanski, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Telfer, Thompson, Thompson, Berger, Berger, Whitsitt, Whitsitt, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors. Leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance today will be Senator Prozanski. Our invocation today is from Senator Bruce Starr from Hillsborough.
My wife and I share most mornings a devotion book, and I just want to read the devotion for today and then read a short scripture and give a short prayer. It says, "Peace be with you. Ever since the resurrection, this has been my watchword to those who yearn for me. As you sit quietly, let my peace settle over you and enfold you in my loving presence. To provide this radiant peace for you, I died a criminal's death. Receive my peace abundantly and thankfully. It is a rare treasure, dazzling in delicate beauty, yet strong enough to withstand all onslaughts. Wear my peace with regal dignity. It will keep your heart and mind close to mine." And then I will read John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let's pray. Gracious Father, we are so thankful for the promises in your word, promises that you have for us, promises of peace. We're in the middle of a process that I would say most wouldn't recognize as a peaceful one, but that in that process we can find peace through you. We ask, Father, today that each of us, as we go about the important duties that we have, the conversations that we have, the bills that we're discussing, the votes that we take, the decisions that we make, that we would do it in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name, and ultimately we'd find peace in it. We ask these things this morning. Amen.
We have a special musical performance today from Pastor Steve Hopkins from Calvary Chapel in Salem. He will perform "Can't Hurry God" and "Amazing Grace."
Well, if you don't like the music this morning, you can blame Senator Atkinson. So, this is an old Mahalia Jackson song.
Well, now you can't hurry God. You just gotta wait. You gotta trust. Give him time, no matter what it takes. 'Cause he's a God that you can't hurry. He'll be there, don't you worry. You know he may not come when you want, but he's right on time. And if you want, you can laugh. Well, now Job was sick so long, the flesh fell from his bones. He lost his wife and his cattle and children. All Job had was gone. He said, "Lord, you brought this affliction on me. Won't you come and see about me?" You know he may not come when you want, but right on time. Mm-hmm. Now you can't squabble with God, 'cause he just might bust your face with his amazing love and his redeeming grace. Mm-mm-mm-mm. 'Cause he's a God that you can't hurry. You'll be there, don't you worry. You know he may not come when you want. He may not come when you want. He may not come when you want. But he's right on time. Right on time. It's right on time.
This is a very familiar song to all of us. It's Amazing Grace. A little bit of a different melody.
Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, with no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rained. Unending love, unending love. Ending love, amazing grace.
Thank you.
Courtesies of the Senate. Recognize Senator Atkinson.
Thank you, Madam President, one of my closest friends, Steve Hopkins. Thank you very much for coming today. He plays all over the valley. He plays all over the place. But we were very gifted, and we were very flattered to have you here today. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Further courtesies? Remonstrances. Recognize Senator Prosansky.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, I just want to bring to your attention something I read in the paper this weekend. And it's really kudos to the state police. There's a gentleman who was a former Marine sniper who suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder, was involved in a small accident, something that was like a fender bender. After it occurred, the other driver saw the former Marine, jump out of his car and take off. He suffers from panic attacks. They told that to the state police. The state police tried to they at that point didn't know that he was a Marine or that he had suffered panic attacks, but they tried to follow him into the woods and into the snow for 2 feet where it got pretty deep and got dark. They weren't able to actually make it to find him. A couple of days had passed, but by that time they knew all this information about this individual, and one of the two troopers, one of the sergeants, Dave Randall, who's also a former Marine, made a challenge, received permission, and went out on snowmobiles. And they actually found him 5 miles from where he had taken off. He had been living on top of some trees and stuff to try to stay warm, but he was severely suffering from hypothermia. But if it wasn't for this senior trooper, as well as the Sergeant Randall, and the interesting part was the way that Sergeant Randall actually got the individual to kind of, let's say, befriend him, was that when he found him, he addressed him by his former rank, Staff Sergeant Cooper. When he asked how he knew that he was a former Marine, the sergeant said, as a Marine always knows in a Marine. And at that point, they became very good friends. So it really took a position of someone that was really committed for public safety to actually go out and put themselves in harm's way to actually find this individual. So I think this is something that's very important for us to acknowledge, and the kudos to the state police for retrieving this individual.
Recognize Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President, colleagues. Last Friday, a bill was passed out of Ways and Means dealing with healthcare transformation without a significant provision, the -7 amendments on medical liability. I would point out that last session during our Wednesday group over at Willamette, we got a report on liability that was one of the most embarrassing and vapid reports I have ever seen. So we tasked the health authority with bringing us another report, which they did a while back. Unfortunately, they asked the wrong questions and so got the wrong answers. And personally, I'm wondering if we can count on this administration to do anything real. The governor has said he will, but I would point out during his first 8 years as governor, he did nothing on the subject. I want to point out, I received a study done by orthopedic surgeons on themselves nationwide, and their report states that defensive medicine in the very narrow universe of orthopedic surgery costs over $2 billion a year in this country. $2 billion a year. And the other side of that that they don't talk about is that they are often reluctant to take on high-risk patients or do high-risk procedures for fear of what might happen to them. So it's not just the cost, it's the type of procedures that will be available to patients if we don't do something about this issue. And colleagues, now is the time to do it.
Recognize Senator Johnson.
Thank you. Colleagues, I would like to bring to your attention the little packet of material on your desk that speaks to the Quilt Trail that's being developed in Tillamook County. Quilt Trail concepts are very popular in the East, where quilt blocks are put on businesses and barns throughout counties or other jurisdictions. In January of 2009, representatives from the Farm Bureau, cities and counties began pulling together a quilt trail in Tillamook County. Beautiful large quilts on all of the barns, the dairy barns and major businesses. I invite you to come to Tillamook County and see these beautiful quilts, and the little brochure I hope is a tantalizing invitation to come on down. Thank you, Madam President.
Recognize Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 1573 would simplify Oregon's complex tax system and stop punishing businesses that have high gross sales. Most importantly, it would create jobs. And you know that's where I come from, jobs. A tax on businesses' raw receipts takes money out of a business, out of the economy, and out of a family's wallet and gives it to the government. A business that's not even profitable could be hit with a $100,000 tax bill. If we are serious about attracting and retaining employers, this type of tax policy just doesn't make sense. Senate Bill 1573, a bill that would give businesses the cash they need to grow and create new jobs. Some want to give businesses lines of credit and greater ability to borrow. I think we should start by letting them keep more of their own hard-earned cash. The bill has languished in committee for over half of this legislative session. It's time to take action. Colleagues, are we going to still nibble at the crumbs, or are we going to bake bread? Now, the bread that's on your desk, if you'd like to return it, I will donate it to a very worthy cause. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President.
Recognize Senator Starr.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, for 14 straight months, we've seen declining revenue forecasts, which really means for the last 14 straight months, Oregon families have watched their paychecks shrink and their jobs disappear. Yet legislative leaders seem content to stand by and watch with disinterest as the economy continues to shrivel. At best, we are on pace to slowly limp back to our usual place, well behind the national average. When are we going to do something about jobs, something to put Oregonians back to work? If we don't do something about Oregon's long-term economic health before the final gavel, then this session should be considered nothing else but a failure.
Further remonstrances? Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the co-speakers to inform you the House has passed House Bill 4006.
Reports from committees. In accordance with SR 8.55 sub 1, committee report summary 12, 13, and 14 were distributed to members February 10th. This information will be recorded in the journal and status report, so ordered. Propositions and motions. Action on recognize Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I move that Senate Bill 1573 be withdrawn from the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue.
Senator Olson has moved that Senate Bill 1573 be withdrawn from the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. And I will remind you that it's not in order to discuss the merits of the bill. It is important to confine your comments to the substance of your motion. Senator Olson, to your motion.
Thank you, Madam President. Let me tell you what this bill would do in two sentences. The bill would end Oregon's gross receipt taxes on businesses, which can charge businesses as much as $100,000 simply for doing business in Oregon, regardless of profitability. In its place, the bill would put a simple flat 150 minimum tax and reduce the tax rate charged on businesses' taxable income. This bill and others like it have had no traction on their majority's agenda. It is time we took action that Oregonians are depending on us to take. Please vote yes on the motion to pull from committee.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Madam President. To the motion, please.
To the motion.
Thank you. Colleagues, this process is clearly not working for Oregonians. It's not working for the people who are looking for jobs in the rural areas of the state. We are more than halfway through this session, and we have yet to see a significant piece of job legislation at the Senate floor. Our priorities governing job creation are clearly broken. This motion is an attempt to reprioritize job creation in the Oregon Senate. I urge a yes vote on this motion because, Madam President, it may be the only way we get a chance to vote on job creation legislation. Thank you, Madam President.
Further discussion? Senator Olson, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those are the opinion that Senate Bill 1573 should be withdrawn from the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. We'll answer aye as your names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Farioli? George? Girard? Haas? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? President Courtney? Voting no. Bates? Beyer? Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Haas, Johnson, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Steiner Hayward, Berger, President Courtney. 14 aye votes.
The motion has failed. Reports from action on executive appointments. Recognize Senator George.
Vote explanation.
Please give your vote explanation.
Colleagues, we missed a huge opportunity to address an issue that is very, very real to all of us. We have budgets coming forward before this legislature, and we can't figure out why money is not coming in to meet the services that our constituents are asking for. And the reason why is because people are not employed and businesses are not opening up. And now, under current law, if a business loses money, they still owe tax in this state, which is a huge disincentive to start up firms. This was an opportunity to have a job creation bill that would create some certainty and create some incentives for people to reinvest in their businesses. And this was a huge missed opportunity for job creation. Thank you.
Further vote explanations. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. The procedure for today's action on executive appointments is as follows. The motions to confirm the individual appointments to the State Forestry Board will be made in turn, and then the motion to confirm en bloc will be made in order to consider the remaining appointments and reappointments to multiple boards and commissions. Recognize Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate confirm the Governor's appointment of Cindy Williams to the State Board of Forestry.
Senator Beyer has moved that the Senate confirm the Governor's appointment of Cindy Williams to the State Board of Forestry. Senator Beyer, to your motion.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, we'll be dealing with three of these this morning, and they're all very balanced. All three of them are from rural areas. All three of them, I understand, have the endorsement now of the Oregon Forest Industry Council and the Small Woodlands Association. Cindy Williams is the first of these. She's got 30 years or more, actually, of experience in natural resources, including working for both public and private and not-for-profit organizations, as well as a stint with the United States Forestry Department. She is also mentioned in the committee the other day that she and her husband are now the proud owners of a small woodlot in Klamath County of, as I recall, slightly less than 200 acres. I think she'll be a good appointee to the board and deserves your vote of support this morning.
Discussion. If not, Senator Beyer, do you wish to close? He does not. All those of the opinion that the appointment should be confirmed will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morse? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Brzozinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, President Courtney, yes. Voting no, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Olson, Starr, Telfer, Thompson, Whitsitt, Winters, 19 aye votes.
The Senate has confirmed the Governor's appointment of Cindy Williams to the State Board of Forestry. Recognize Senator Beyer.
Thank you again, Madam President. I move that the Senate confirm the Governor's appointment of Tom Insko to the State Board of Forestry.
Senator Beyer has moved that the Senate confirm the Governor's appointment of Tom Insko to the State Board of Forestry. To your motion.
Thank you, Madam President. Mr. Insko is a resident of La Grande, Oregon. He's currently the regional manager of Boise Cascades operation in that side of the mountains. Has over 30 years of experience in forestry and will be a good representative on the Forestry Board. I urge your support.
Discussion. If not, Senator Beyer, do you wish to close?
Do not.
The question now arises, shall the Senate confirm the governor's appointment of Tom Ensko to the State Board of Forestry? All those of the opinion that the appointment should be confirmed will answer aye as their names are called. Those who are opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Burdick?
Aye.
Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Gerard? Haas? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morris? President Courtney? 30 aye votes.
The Senate has confirmed the governor's appointment. Recognize Senator Lee Beyer.
Thank you, Madam President. I move the Senate confirm the governor's appointment of Nels Christofferson to the State Board of Forestry.
Senator Beyer has moved that the Senate confirm the governor's appointment of Nels Christofferson to the State Board of Forestry. Senator Beyer, to your motion.
Thank you, Madam President. Mr. Christofferson is a resident of Enterprise, Oregon, and currently is Executive Director of Wallowa Resources. He has quite an impressive background. He's got his bachelor's in economics from Williams College and, believe it or not, his forestry degree from Oxford University in England. He's worked throughout the world in conservation efforts and is a fairly impressive guy. I urge your confirmation.
Discussion. Not Senator Beyer, do you wish to close? He does not. The question is, shall the Senate confirm the governor's appointment of Nels Christofferson to the State Board of Forestry? All those of the opinion that the appointment should be confirmed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morris, Nelson, Olson. President Courtney?
Yes.
30 aye votes.
The Senate has confirmed the governor's appointment. Recognize Senator Atkinson.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I move the Senate confirm and block the following appointments and reappointments to the respective boards and commissions. To the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission, Mr. Patrick Garrett. To the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board, Dory Davis, Steve Torgerson, Philip Johnson, James Bumgardner, Bradley Armbus. I'm going to get that right. And I did get it right. The Commission on Asian and Pacific Islander Affairs, Ping Ka Sutherland. To the State Aviation Board, a very accomplished pilot with 2,300 hours in both fixed and rotor wing aircraft, Paul Hudgens. To the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners, Ann Goldeen. The Director of Department of Consumer and Business Services, Patrick Allen. The Director of Department of Corrections, Colette Peters. The Oregon Criminal Justice Commission, Daryl Larson, John Mark Eddy, Lee Ayers Proboski. For the Trust for Cultural Development Board, Carol Morris, Lee Weinstein. To the Employment Relations Board, Catherine Logan. To the Environmental Quality Commission, Morgan Ryder, Edward Armstrong. To the Health Information Technology Oversight Council, Eric Doolin and Kenneth Carlson. To the Oregon Health Insurance Exchange Corporation, Lou Savage. To the Oregon Health Policy Board, Carla McKelvey.
to the Land Conservation and Development Commission, appointment and reappointment from Talent, Oregon, Sherman Lamb. To the trustees of the State Library, Sam Hall and Raymond Meow. To the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots, Tom Markgraf and Kim Duncan. To the State Board of Massage Therapists, Carol Chapman. To the Mechanical Board, Gerald Sherman and Linda Kennedy. To the Oregon Medical Board, Angelo Turner. To the Oregon State Board of Nursing, Gary Hickman. To the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board, Sasha Burchett, Bouchard. I was practicing and I still blew it. Sasha Bouchard. Matthew Kirby, Paige Clarkson, who's an appointment and a reappointment, Silas Holleran Steiner. To the Psychiatric Security Review Board, Charmaine Roberts, Jenna Morrison, Eric Johnson, Susanna Alba, Bennett Garner. To the Public Employees Retirement Board, John Thomas and Roni Wiswall. To the Public Officials Compensation Commission, Edwin Hardin. To the Board of Public Safety Standards and Training, Diana Simpson, Larry Blanton, Lisa Stettel. To the Public Utility Commission, I carried her the first time. I'm pleased to carry her a second time, Susan Ackerman. To the Quality Education Commission, Doug Wells, Mary Alice Russell, Gail Rasmussen, Beth Girott, which is probably Beth Giroux. I got it both ways, Beth. To the Oregon Racing Commission, Christopher Dudley. To the Respiratory Therapist and Polysomnographic Technology Licensing Board, the people that help with sleep disorders, Joel Glass, Nicholas Gaffney, and Michael Lafour. The State Board of Licensed Social Workers, Donna Henderson. To the State Board of Tax Practitioners, Dorothy Hudson. Teachers Standards and Practices Commission, Leah Bates, Judith Brizentine, Olga Kolb, Mark Gerard, Heidi Seip. To the TriMet Board, Bruce Warner and Travis Stovall. To the Commission for Women, Jean Birch. To the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee, affectionately known as IMLAC, Paul Goldberg, Ilana Guinea, Carol Duncan, and Dave Anderson. State Workforce Investment Board, Susan Brown. And that is all.
Senator Atkinson has moved that the Senate confirm en bloc the governor's appointments and reappointments as listed on today's calendar. To your motion, Senator Atkinson.
Madam President, I have practiced all morning for the word of the sleepy people, and I couldn't get it right. But other than that, we have a very fine group here that I will say, as I said in committee, I was very proud of how the executive branch asked these members to reach out to the Oregon Senate, not only the Rules Committee members, but also to other members, and ask for the votes. It was a noticeable improvement, and I want to say thank you to the executive branch, and I would urge an aye vote on these appointments.
Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Atkinson, do you wish to close? The question is, shall the Senate confirm en bloc the governor's appointments as listed in today's calendar? All those of the opinion that the appointments should be confirmed will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Przanski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner-Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? Dingfelder? Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Gerard? Haas? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Aye. Morris? Aye. Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
President Courtney?
Yes.
Not answering. Boquist?
He's excused.
Excused. Boquist. 29 aye votes.
The governor's appointments are confirmed en bloc. Introduction and first reading of Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Adjournment Memorial 201, urging President and Congress of the United States of America to allow Oregon counties to manage or divest Oregon and California railroad grants, lands, and located in counties. Senate Bill 1512, relating to lightning contains mercury. Senate Bill 1532, relating to exemption of property of enterprise zones, prescribing effective date. Senate Bill 1546, relating to trees. Senate Bill 1580, relating to health care delivery, and declaring emergency.
Pass to calendar. Third reading of Senate measures. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 201, recognizing and honoring Eugene Police Officer Chris Cocullen for service to the state.
Recognize Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, SCR 201 is a resolution which honors slain Eugene Police Officer Chris Cocullen. You may remember from the last session that we passed a bill which renamed Highway 126, which runs through the Eugene Springfield communities in Officer Kilcullen's honor. Also during last session, we passed a bill which allowed ODOT to erect fallen officer signs, the first two of which are on I-5, one just south of Salem and one a little bit north. What this resolution does is it's the key, if you will, that allows ODOT to erect a sign, fallen officer sign, at the point where Officer Kilcullen was killed on Highway 126. This is a request that comes from the police community in the Eugene-Springfield area, and in fact, it came from something that the most recent graduating class of the police academy wanted to pay for. This is a process that is all done with private donations. There's no public and money involved in it. But the law requires that we pass a resolution to do that. I'm not going to go into the details of all of this because we did it last time, although I will tell you that the signs that are up naming the freeway, Chris's wife told me that when they drive past them, his young daughter waves to the sign each time he goes past it. It grabbed my heart. I imagine it would yours too. So Chris was an exemplary officer, if you'll recall. He was very well liked by everybody in his department and many members of the community. It's a fitting tribute to allow this sign to be erected. Thank you, Madam President.
Discussion. There's no discussion. Senator Prezansky, do you wish to close? The question now arises upon the third reading and final adoption of SCR 201. Those of the opinion that the bill should be adopted will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Prezansky, President Courtney. 30 aye votes.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 201, having received a constitutional majority, is declared adopted. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1503, relating to influence of Ascension Nations and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, this is an issue, this issue of vaccinating health care workers has been on in the legislature several years now. It started with the wonderful Senator Morissette, and for some reason we have not been able to get it through. But this bill, Senate Bill 1503, it's been introduced by the Senate Health Care Committee, and it is an attempt to increase the influenza vaccination rates for health care workers. It takes what has worked well in some health care facilities in Oregon, It's a strong education campaign that includes a declination form and runs that approach statewide. Facilities have done this, have reported vaccination rates of up to 85 to 90%. If we can achieve these rates statewide in all healthcare facilities, we'll have some of the highest in the country. Additionally, Senate Bill 1503 includes data collection, so we can gather data on who's getting vaccinated and who isn't and why. This data will allow us to further refine our education efforts to increase the rates. Senate Bill 1503 is supported by the Oregon Nurses Association, the Oregon Healthcare Association, ARP, and other groups listed on the floor letter on your desk. Please take a look at that. I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Madam President.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Bates.
Thank you, Madam President. Quite frankly, this is a good bill and a step in the right direction, but it doesn't go nearly far enough. For those of us who work in hospitals and have to deal with patients who are immune suppressed, who are gravely ill with other illnesses or have other problems, to think that healthcare workers, that's doctors, nurses, anybody who enters that room has not been vaccinated, at least for flu vaccine, if not for pneumonia and other vaccines, is really a danger to those patients. So we're going to watch this carefully over the next couple of years, and if this doesn't get to 80 or 90 or higher percentage, then we need to come back and make this mandatory as it should be right now. We offer that amendment. The Hospital Association supported it, and frankly, I wish the amendment would have been the law. But we take what we can get in this business. It's a good step forward. I urge your aye vote. But in two or three years, if we're back here asking you to make this mandatory, I would appreciate your vote then, too. Thank you.
Recognize Senator Morse.
Thank you, Madam President. I will not repeat the good words from our physician, Dr. Bates. You will notice that on the endorsement letter, the Oregon Hospital Association is not on this letter. I voted no in committee, not because I'm opposed to the bill. I agree with Dr. Bates. It does not go far enough. The Hospital Association amendment was a very thoughtful one. It allowed for the soft approach, and if it was not successful, then it became possible to have it be a condition of employment. And for that reason, colleagues, I did not support the bill, and I will be a no vote today, not because it isn't moving in the right direction. It just doesn't move far enough. Patient safety should not be a collective bargaining issue. Thank you, Madam President.
Further discussion? If not, Senator Mondes Anderson, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1503. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Farioli? George? Gerard? Haas? Johnson? Cruz? Mondes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Prezansky? Rosenbaum? President Courtney? Voting no, Morse, Telfer, Whitsitt, 27 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1503, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1504, relating to health insurance and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Shields.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, in the 2011 legislative session, Senate Bill 89 was enacted, and the bill codified several reforms related to the sale and administration of health insurance by the Affordable Care Act. And there was a significant rulemaking process that happened in the wake of Senate Bill 89. And Senate Bill 1504 represents the compromise between the Oregon Insurance Division and the carriers on topics that grew out of the Senate Bill 89 rulemaking process. One thing I'd like to get on the record is that the staff measure summary indicates this exempts insurers from requirement to send notice of cancellation of health benefit plan if cancellation is due to non-payment of premium. To clarify that, it actually exempts the insurer from the requirement to send a second notice. There is two different parts of the ORS where that requirement existed. This bill, Senate Bill 1504, would just take out one of those requirements, leaving the other still intact. So to clarify, the legislative intent is to continue to require notice of cancellation due to non-payment of premium. Thank you, Madam President.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Boquist.
To the bill, Madam President.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I'm not going to oppose the bill, but I want to put on the record, I appreciate the good carrier mentioning the notices and how they go out. In this modern day of technology, you know, I vote against every bill that has anything electronic in it because most of my district doesn't have electronic email, so on and so forth. And I'm going to have to say I have a conflict of interest too, because the constituent I'm going to complain about in a minute is my wife. And that is that we have had our policies canceled because the technology went to the insurance company. They cashed the check. We got the canceled check back. And somehow they said, oh, we didn't get payment. And I will tell you a story in my business in the last 60 days. We've had that happen twice with two different companies in which they cashed the check, took the money, and then said, oh, we didn't get paid. Now, that might be a new commercial credit thing, and it did involve big banks, and so it could be personal retribution against me, I suppose. But having said that, the key point here is that we still need to make sure in law, and this bill does preserve it, in that if somebody makes a legitimate payment or does the right thing and then it gets canceled by mistake, there still is recourse. You don't have to wait 90 days, talk to someone in Pakistan in a foreign language named Peggy with a male voice, and then finally get your issue resolved, which is unfortunately how you deal with insurance companies most of these days. So I will support the bill, but I want it on record, and I suppose I have a conflict of interest because I have been affected by this negatively, and I probably should be voting against it. Thank you, Madam President.
Further discussion? If not, Senator Shields, do you wish to close?
Yes, Madam President. Just briefly, again, the legislative intent is to continue to require notice of cancellation due to non-payment of premium. And I think many of us hear more and more about complaints from constituents relating to the insurance industry. I would just encourage those who might be listening or watching on television to file a complaint with the state's insurance division if they feel they have been wronged by their insurance carrier. And again, I would encourage you to vote yes on SB 1504. It does clean up some of the unintended consequences of Senate Bill 89. Thank you, Madam President.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1504. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Starr? Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt?
Aye.
Winters?
Aye.
Atkinson?
Aye.
Bates?
Aye.
Beyer?
Aye.
Boquist?
Aye.
Burdick?
Aye.
Devlin?
Aye.
Dingfelder? Edwards,
aye.
Ferrioli,
aye.
George,
aye.
Gerard,
aye.
Hass,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Cruz,
aye.
Monis Anderson,
aye.
Monroe,
aye.
Morse,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Prozanski,
aye.
Rosenbaum,
aye.
Shields,
aye.
President Courtney,
yes.
30 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1504, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1505, relating to civil commitment to Native Americans and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 1505 deals very narrow universe of the non-PL2 80 tribes. And what this does, this bill updates commitment procedures for individuals in Indian country where the state does not have jurisdiction. It allows the transfer of individuals to any licensed hospital. Currently, that can only happen to the state hospital. The bill also requires that a director of the hospital or facility or the attending physician to notify the tribe of all actions taken relating to commitment within 24 hours of the action. And the bill also directs Community Mental Health Program Director to initial an investigation of commitment with 72 hours. And it should also be noted for the record that the cost to local mental health at the county or the hospitals will not be increased by this. The tribe will pick up the cost of anything. Colleagues, this is quite simply to allow tribal members to be dealt with in a more appropriate way than automatically sending them to the state hospital. I urge an aye vote.
Discussion? If not, Senator Cruz, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1505. Those are the opinion the bill should pass. Will enter as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt?
Aye.
Winters?
Aye.
Atkinson?
Yes.
Bates?
Aye.
Beyer?
Aye.
Boquist?
Aye.
Burdick?
Aye.
Devlin?
Aye.
Dingfelder?
Aye.
Edwards?
Aye.
Ferrioli?
Aye.
George?
Aye.
Gerard?
Aye.
Hass? Hass? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? President Courtney? 30 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1505, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1525, relating to public safety, and declare an emergency.
Recognize Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I urge the passage of Senate Bill 1525A for this reason. When we passed Senate Bill 412, there were some changes that were needed to make sure that DPSST certification and recertification statutes are aligned with Senate Bill 412. And I'm happy to report that since we passed that bill, the Umatilla, Coos, Lower Umpqua, Siuslaw, and Warm Springs all have gotten alignment for certification as peace officers in Oregon. So I can say, Madam President, that this is a housekeeping bill to align the regulations of DPSST and the rules under which they operate with the new bill that we passed in the last legislative session regarding tribal police officers. And Madam President, while folks were in the neighborhood, they noticed in the review of the rules and statutes that we have to make a change to allow the FBI member, who's an advisory member on the board of BPSST, to be a non-voting member. The current rule calls for the FBI member, the agent in charge for Oregon, to be a voting member, but that does not comport with federal law, Madam President. So the alignment would be to keep the person designated on the board, but make them a non-voting member. So, Madam President, truly, Senate Bill 1525 is a housekeeping measure to comport the regulations for DPSST with laws that we have passed in the legislature. And I urge an aye vote, Madam President.
Discussion? If not, Senator Brzezinski, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1525. Those are the opinion the bill should pass. Will answer aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt? Whitsitt? Whitsitt?
Senator Whitsitt?
Aye.
Winters?
Aye.
Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Gerard? Hass? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr?
Aye.
Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
President Courtney?
Yes.
30 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1525, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1527, relating to crime and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Pisanski.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, Senate Bill 1527 came out of your Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. What this bill is going to do is make a technical fix to a bill that was passed previously. It's going to substitute the word crime for conviction, so it will actually have meaning as to what was intended. Specifically, it will read now, a victim in a previous conviction is the same individual as the victim in the current crime, not conviction. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Discussion? If not, Senator Pisanski, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now rises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1527. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt?
Aye.
Winters?
Aye.
Atkinson?
Yes.
Bates?
Aye.
Beyer?
Aye.
Boquist?
Aye.
Burdick?
Aye.
Devlin?
Aye.
Dingfelder?
Aye.
Edwards? Ferrioli? George?
Aye.
Gerard?
Aye.
Haas? Johnson, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, President Courtney, 30 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1527, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1540, relating to education, declare emergency.
Recognize Senator Haas.
Thank you, Madam President. My fellow Oregon senators, one thing I can tell you with certainty about Senate Bill 1540 is it will not make news headlines. And if I could give you some free public relations advice, I'd say don't do a press release on this one because it's very technical and deals mostly with housekeeping measures, but it is very important to a lot of people in our education universe. We call it the Omnibus Education Bill. We've done it in the last two short sessions before this. And the way you get something into this bill is to qualify, it can have no opposition whatsoever. And there are seven sections dealing with seven different things in this bill. And already in this session, when there was even a slightest hint of concern on two of them, we deleted them. So the original list of nine is now down to seven. Briefly, let me outline some of the changes this bill proposes. First, SB 1540 allows ESD board members to complete their terms of service. As you know, we passed a new ESD restructuring law last year, but we overlooked a point where if a school district withdraws from an ESD, the board member still has to serve out their term. This fixes that, and we will revisit ESD governance next year. Second, this bill requires students aged 5 and 6 who are already enrolled in school to maintain regular attendance. This was part of the full-day kindergarten task force recommendation. As you know, we passed the full-day kindergarten bill, but this part, for some reason, was left out. I would say that it's very timely because of the study that was released last week that showed that attendance in kindergarten and first grade in this state is abysmal. And school attendance, especially at this age, is terribly, terribly important. It can determine the trajectory of academic success or failure for students, and this is a very critical age. Third, this bill requires the State Board of Education to change language encouraging increased learning time. That doesn't sound like a big deal. It's not. But the problem is Oregon is currently ineligible for federal funding on this type of thing, and Senate Bill 1540 will make Oregon eligible for federal education funding grants simply by using conforming language. Fourth, this bill resolves conflict with regard to two new teacher evaluation standards. We had two bills that passed last year. One was 2013. One set the implementation date at 2014. The stakeholders agreed to a 2013-2014 school year start date. Fifth, this bill removes the sunset on the letters of reproval program that this body passed in 2009. Senate Bill 119 in that year allowed the TSPC to enter into informal letters of reproval by agreement with educators who had not violated standards but engaged in serious behavior and that demands some form of accountability. This program has been extremely successful and is supported by the education community. Sixth, Senate Bill 1540 gives another year of life to the Task Force on Accountable Schools. We passed this last year, but members were delayed. The Task Force only met once. This gives him another year and allows him time to complete their work. Senate Bill 1540 allows this extra time. And finally, Senate Bill 1540 delays the implementation of proficiency-based learning assessments until 2013. You may recall that we passed Senate Bill 2220 last year. It required assessments to show a student's progress toward becoming proficient in a continuum of knowledge and skills. This is a major reform step. Stakeholders have agreed that another year is needed before we can implement all of this. So lots of technical changes here. I ask for your support in doing this. These are not changes that will change whether the sun comes up tomorrow. The sun will still come up, but these are the type of necessary, and I would submit, technical housekeeping changes that we need to do. Short sessions were allowed to take advantage of making these necessary tweaks in state policy, and this bill does this. The bill passed unanimously out of the Education Committee, and I ask for your support.
Discussion. If not, Senator Hass, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1540. Those are the opinion that the bill should pass. Will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk call the roll.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt? Winters?
Aye.
Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist?
Aye.
Burdick? Devlin?
Aye.
Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Gerard? Hass? Johnson? Cruz? Bonas Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? President Courtney?
Yes.
30 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1540, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1544, relating to economic development, and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Madam President. A few months ago, I discovered that because I'm an elected official, I can't be on the TV show The Bachelorette, much less The Bachelor. So, because I'm here, I do this because I think there's some important work to do in this body. And this bill is a perfect example of that. What this bill does is basically it returns to industrial zoning 465 acres in Central Oregon. This land was industrial, was converted to open space when the Deschutes County Fairgrounds thought they might move out there. They decided to move somewhere else, and it's taken the city of Redmond more than 12 years to try to get it back, rezoned back. So we had a lot of collaboration on this bill to come to an agreement. We had the collaboration of ODOT, DLCD, 1,000 Friends, LandWatch, Economic Development for Central Oregon, the city of Redmond, the Bend Chamber of Commerce, and a lot of bipartisan legislative support. Central Oregon has probably the highest unemployment in the state right now. This is a jobs creation bill. We've been talking about jobs. This would open up the opportunity to create numerous jobs in Central Oregon. We talk about, the governor has his 40-40-20 for education, which I support. One of the things we need as we get those highly skilled, better educated people in the state of Oregon, we need jobs for them of a higher level. I think this will help accomplish that. This is just another tool in the toolbox of economic development. And unlike the last bill that Senator Haas presented, this bill does deserve a press release upon its passage. I encourage your yes vote to support this job creation bill. Thank you.
Discussion? If not, Senator Beyer, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, it was my honor to work with Senator Telfer on this and all of her colleagues over in Central Oregon. They made a trip over there. We worked on it. This is a very good location, and as a couple of our colleagues addressed this morning, we need to do something about job creation, and while we don't create jobs, we provide the opportunity for those to be created. This particular piece of land we're talking about, which is totally in public ownership, is probably one of the best industrial sites in the state. It's very unique because it's sets adjacent to a great airport. There's been a lot of interest over the years, and particularly recently, according to the Economic Development Corporation over there, for this. But unfortunately, when people discovered what they would have to do to go through the bureaucratic process to change zoning, they said, you know, there are other places we can do this, and they located out of state. We need jobs. This is an opportunity. It deserves your support.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1544. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Whitsitt. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Beyer. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Devlin. Dingfelder. Edwards. Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Lonis Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Prozanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, President Courtney, not answering, Boquist.
Excused,
Boquist, 29 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1544, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the last bill.
Senate Bill 1575, relating to disorderly conduct in the second degree and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Prozanski.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, Senate Bill 1575 came out of Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. What this bill will do, colleagues, it will increase the possible penalties for those individuals who are convicted of criminal disorderly conduct at a funeral service. This was a bill that also takes care of one of the statute provisions that had been ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court back in 2004. This is an opportunity, this bill, to actually hold people accountable for acting out at funerals. If you remember, we had a bill last session that was going after the speech. This will go after conduct and make it sure and ensure that all funerals, not just any group of individuals that may have funeral services, are protected by the bill. Thank you.
Discussion? Not Senator Prozanski. Do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1575. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Beyer. Boquist. Devlin. Burdick. Dingfelder. Edwards. Ferrioli. George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Lonis Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Prozanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, President Courtney? Excused, Boquist? 29 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1575, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 4006, relating to wildlife and declaring emergency.
transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures. Third reading of House measures. Other business of the Senate. In accordance with SR 8.40 sub 3, committee referral list 9 was distributed to the members February 10th, and number 10 was distributed today. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and status report so ordered. Announcements. My fellow senators, I'm asked to tell you to please plan on an evening and weekend floor sessions as we move forward. These additional floor sessions will likely be needed to move the Senate's measures to the House for consideration in that chamber. Further announcements. Recognize Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Democrats, we will caucus at noon, so please get your lunch and bring it to the caucus room. We're meeting at noon.
Recognize Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam President. Republicans, being on time, under budget, and without the need for new taxes, will not be caucusing at noon today. Thank you, Madam President.
Further announcements. If there are no further announcements, and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, February 14th.